Where's your joy? Before we get started, I want to ask you a question. Do we have the presence of God in this place? Hey, y'all are in agreement. Amen. That's great. And He is here. And He's been here a long time. And we've seen progress, more and more of the kingdom of God being released in and through this church. But there's something that's missing at times, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's look at Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. We'll find out what it is. Psalm 16, verse 11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now, I'm not saying there's not any joy in this church. There is. But fullness sounds like something full, doesn't it? Like a lot of it. And that's something we don't have, is a lot of joy all the time. We're getting, I think, more and more loose in our praise. People are kind of letting go and enjoying God. And that's what you need to do. You know, I mean, golly, God loves praise. He loves worship. And He created a people just for that. Amen? So why should we disappoint Him? We shouldn't. We should be offering Him the very best and the very most of our praise and worship. Okay? So if God's presence is in this place, and of course I believe it is, then where is your joy? Where are those pleasures forevermore that the psalmist is talking about? Well, let's go on a little pathway this morning and see what we can discover. Let's begin by looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Now, Paul in this second letter to the Corinthian church begins to tell the church about another church that he had been to. And it's in an area that had a severe drought. We in South Texas, we know what drought is. But this was a severe drought, much worse than even what we've experienced here in the United States. But they were, these people, they were destitute, they were poor, and they had nothing, that people that lived in this area. And so I want you to listen to what he says about these people. So let's start in verse 1. "We want to tell you further, brothers, about the grace of God which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia." That's the area we're talking about. "For in the middle of an ordeal of severe tribulation, their abundance of joy and their depth of poverty have overflowed in wealth of lavish generosity on their part. For as I can bear witness, they gave according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, and they did it voluntarily." Now let's go back up a line or two, talking about their abundance of joy, but yet he's also talking about a depth of poverty. I don't know about you, but I don't like being poor. Do you? Do you just get all excited and rejoice when you can't pay your bills? Yeah, no. So there's something that made this connection for them. Even though they didn't have anything, they were full of joy. And there's a reason behind all of this, and we're going to see what it is. But you see, these people had an abundance. And even to the point, and now hear me now, because they even got to the point where they liked to give. See, many Christians don't like to give. They sure don't like to tithe, but they don't like to give. But these people gave, and they could not, I mean, they could not in reality give because of their poor condition. I mean, they didn't have anything. But what they did have and what they dug down and found, they began to give. And why? Because they had an abundance of joy. Now, before you get all excited, this is not a message on giving, okay? I just had to mention this up front so you kind of understand where these people are coming from. So, they had an abundance of joy. So, where is your abundance of joy? Don't raise your hand, but have you ever had an abundance of joy? I have. Lots of times. But yet, I don't have it every day, and I'd like to have it every day on a continual basis. So, how did they get this abundance of joy? Well, in verse 1, Paul writes that the grace of God was evident in the church. The grace of God was evident in their church. Now, what is this grace of God? You know, we've talked about grace in this church many times over the last many years. And we can define it as God's unmerited favor. And that's the way that most churches describe it, define it. But there's more to grace than that. And we've found the solution or the answer to the grace of God and what it really should be in our lives. But to talk about grace, you have to understand mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we really deserve. Can you agree with that? We don't deserve anything from God. But because of grace and because of Jesus, God has poured out everything into our lives. Do you see that? Scripture says that God has given us all things, everything that we need for life and godliness. And it comes because of His grace. Now, that's mercy, but grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is saving us from the wrath of God. But grace is the heart of God being poured out in love upon you and I, even though we don't really deserve it. And you see, apart from Jesus, we don't have anything. But in Jesus Christ, we have everything. Amen. That's why we can grow in grace. Paul talks about moving from grace to grace. I like the first level of grace, but I sure would like to taste the second level. Amen? But this is something that this church had, and they were full of the grace of God. And this grace was poured out on this Macedonian church, and as it was being poured out in abundance, it also released an abundance of grace, I mean of joy, and an abundance of supernatural giving. An abundance of joy and an abundance of supernatural giving. How would you like to learn how to give supernaturally? Amen. Actually, you can. It's called faith. Calling those things that are not as though they are. You see, you can purpose in your heart that you're going to give supernaturally and then begin to believe for it. Trust God to provide it. God's not afraid to do it. You shouldn't be afraid to do it either. Amen. And we're not just talking about money. There's a lot of things that we can give as Christians that we should be given and we're not. So, How did they qualify to get this grace? Well, let's look on down in verse 5. It says, nor was this gift of theirs merely the contribution that we expected, but first they gave of themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. What's the first thing they did? They gave of themselves to the Lord. Now, have we done that? What does it mean to give ourselves to the Lord? Well, it means that we need to just give God our life completely and totally disregard all of our personal interests, our personal lives, our personal desires, and even sell out to God. Give Him everything. We can say, oh, well, I've given it all to Jesus. And in truth, we haven't. Because if we have given it all, then we're going to be living a different life than what we see most Christians live. Now, I don't know you individually as far as you, is what you've done in your heart, as far as giving yourself to God. But if you haven't, that's a starting place for abundance of joy in your life, to come into your life and to stay in your life. And over the last probably 6-8 months, I've been touching on this, totally abandoning yourself to God many times. This seems to be important to God. And that's why He keeps bringing it through this church and declaring His word that we give ourselves completely to Him. But these people, they gave Him everything that they had. Now, when you're at when everything is gone, how do you have anything to give? Amen? They couldn't, they're in a severe drought. They couldn't farm. They couldn't raise crops of anything. So how did they do all of this? Well, total abandonment to the will of God will bring changes into your life. But you have to understand, and this I think is where we fall short. You have to understand that when you totally abandon yourself to God, you step into a different world than this world. You step into a different world and other than this world. And people who are around you, and I'm talking about lukewarm people and even people of the world, they're going to revolt against you and make fun of you because you've totally abandoned yourself to God, because you're going to be different. You're not going to be like everybody else. And that's one of the saddest things about Christianity, is we're so afraid that somebody's going to make fun of us, or somebody's going to ask us about something, or, derogatory remarks or whatever. And we shouldn't care. From the time Jesus stepped out, so many people were against what He was doing. They were against who He was. They were against the word that He preached. Everything. But yet He didn't let that stop Him. He came and He did what the Father sent Him here to do. And the same should be with us as Christians. We should be about doing our Father's business. Amen? And not worrying about what everybody else is going to think or say about us. Now, people, they like to talk about worldly things because that's all they know. But if you totally abandon yourself to God, you're going to want to talk about kingdom things. You're going to want to talk about Jesus. You're going to want to talk about the great things that God does in your life. And that's what God wants. God is not interested in world affairs. He's interested in his kingdom to come here on this earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So it's time that we need to just grab hold and just make this change in our lives. Totally abandoning ourselves to the will of God. Now these people will also, the people of the world and other Christians even, they'll envy you because you represent the call of the Holy Ghost that they wished that they had. And the only reason that they don't have it is because they've never received it. They've got the same opportunity you have to abandon yourself to God's will and His purpose. So you are going to be rejected. You're going to be talked about. And you're going to know the pain of what it feels like to be called a fanatic. Everybody remember the 70s and the Jesus movement? I mean, you know, on the surface, they were called every name in the book, but mainly Jesus freaks. They were fanatical about Jesus. And people didn't like it. And I think just, you know, because of what they would share, what they would teach, what they would preach, but because of the way they dressed. They were different. And somehow the church don't like anybody different. Well, I want us to be different in this church. When people run into us out here on the street every day, I want them to be able to see something different in our lives than just being another person in this old world. Amen? And we can do it by giving everything to God. So if you want this kind of joy, then you're going to have to give yourself to God. You're not going to get it any other way. And joy unspeakable, full of glory, will only come when you love Him and you serve Him with all of your heart. You hold nothing back. You give Him everything in your life. And you know, the Scripture talks about, you know, even though you can't see Him, you still love Him. You still love Him. That's what in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, that's where we find that passage of Scripture. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And verse 6, in this you what? Greatly rejoice. There's that abundance of joy. Though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Isn't that something, being able to go through trials and still have an abundance of joy? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, and though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now, I want to look at these verses in a little different translation, a more modern translation. You really have to spend a little time in these verses to understand them. But let's see if we can gather just a glimmer or two of truth out of these. So we're going to look at them through the New Living Testament. a couple of verses 6 through 8. So truly be glad. You glad this morning? Yeah. Had to get out of bed on Sunday morning to come to church. But I'm glad. Got to get beyond that. Wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. And these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. Your faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And through your faith is far more precious, and though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. And though you do not see Him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. And the reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. Total abandonment to the will of God comes from a new heart. And how did we get a new heart? When we received Jesus into our lives. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And when you have this new heart, God brings you deep into His presence. And He pours out His Holy Spirit upon you. And then He restores the joy of your salvation. Well, Pastor, I've been saved 50 years. And I never experienced that. Well, let me ask you, from the time you got saved, have you pressed in to an intimate relationship with Jesus all these years? And the majority of people will have to answer no, they haven't. It's been a superficial relationship we call church. And there's no depth to it. That's the reason we don't have an abundance of joy, because there's no depth in any of us as Christians. Because we've never totally abandoned ourselves to the Father. You see, that's what salvation is all about. Yes, it's forgiveness of our sins, praise God. But I mean, Jesus paid everything for our salvation. And should we do anything less than that? You see, we need to think about that. We need to give Him everything, every day of our lives, and walk with Him in a strong relationship that will not ever turn back and that will not perish. Psalm 51, verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Well, that sounds like something we could pray today. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me, Lord, by your generous spirit. Do you understand that? Do you understand what He's saying? It's by grace that you're saved, praise God. And it's by grace that you are filled with joy. And God will fill a vessel that has completely emptied itself and holds back nothing. So the question is, where is your joy? Where is your joy? The next thing that these people in Macedonia did, they gave of themselves to other people. They gave of themselves to other people. And he was talking about Titus and his group. And they put themselves at the disposal of other people to be directed by the will of God. In other words, be in there doing God's work, doing God's plans instead of our own. And they became servants of God in serving other people around them. Their desire, their whole desire was to do and accomplish the will of the Father to whoever they met, whoever they come across. They want to see the will of the Father released into the lives of these people. And we call that evangelism, and that's what it's all about. Touching the lives of other people in Christ Jesus or through Christ Jesus. So when we completely give of ourselves, God is going to work a work of grace in each one of us. He's going to release it into each one of us. And that will cause you to become a giver because your heart wants to give. And you don't give because you, in other words, because you have to. I guess that's a good way to put it. And I just don't want to give if I have to give. And I remember the first time I finally caught the revelation of all of this in giving. I mean, I love to give. And Daniel and I were talking about it this morning. I much rather would give to people than ministries. Because you get a one-on-one contact with people when you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. And we've talked about this before, you know. I've talked about, you know, being in the grocery store line and somebody doesn't have money enough to pay for the food they have in their basket. I mean, my word, pay for it. God will abundantly bless you. And you just don't understand the blessings that'll come. I'll guarantee you, I'm at financially where I'm at today because I've given. I've given. And I can't really explain it to people. This is a faith thing, and you just have to step into it and step out on it. And God will show you how it works, how He can bless you through your giving. So let's let God this morning restore the joy of your salvation. You need that. And God's here this morning ready to do that. And oh, by the way, there's enough grace here to go around. Okay. God's not running short of grace. He's got plenty. Jesus gave everything that He had. So you need to be willing to give everything that you have. Give it to the Lord this morning. And then give of yourself. That's what's important in all of this, is to give of yourself. Completely giving yourself to God. And whatever it is that God wants in your life or out of your life, just be willing to function in it and walk in it and go with it. Go with the flow wherever it takes you. I mean, I'm in Eagle Pass. And I'm here because God brought me here. Amen. And we've been here a long time. So, you know, would this have been my choice and a place to live? No. I grew up around Pearsall, and I'd have probably stayed over in that area, you know. But this was God's purpose. And so I had to give myself to this, okay? And then I had to make sure my wife was willing to give herself too, which she was. So it's amazing what God can do with you when you just turn it all over to Him and say, Lord, I'm going to follow You. We'll do whatever You want to do. Amen? All right. So if you take that step this morning, then are you going to be willing to start in agreement with God? Are you going to start giving yourself to other people as well as giving it to God? And are you going to lay down your old selfish, self-centered life? You see, that's what the sacrifice is all about. You got to get rid of you so that God can come in and be everything for you. Okay. And I was thinking on this last night, how blinded we can be in ourselves, so to speak. How we can't even see the pride that's in our lives. But it's there. And God wants us to lay it down, give it back, or give it to Him, and He'll deal with it. But we can't give everything to God and still walk in pride and selfishness and being self-centered. God calls for a people of humility, an humble people, ready to serve, ready to touch lives of other people. So why don't you ask the Lord right now to just, Lord, give me unspeakable joy, full of grace this morning. And He's not going to turn you down. Lord, give me that grace. And don't just sit there thinking, well, you know, maybe so, maybe no. Or I'll ask Him tomorrow. No, you won't. If you can't ask Him that question right now, you'll never ask it. But Lord, restore my joy, the joy of my salvation. And He will. And admit it. I mean, tell Him, I've lost my joy. The joy I've had in the past, but I've lost it. And Lord, Your presence to me is not what it used to be. But I want it back. I want to be where I used to be. And God is a God of restoration. And He will restore you to where you have been. And you know, it's always fruitful on your part to just get honest with God. I mean, God's whole word is from a heart of honesty. He tells it like it is. And we try to twist it around and make it say what we want to hear. But that's not going to prosper us in any way. We have to do it His way. And not our way. So it's good to make declarations this morning. Declare to the Lord that you're laying down your life for Him. Declare to the Lord that you're giving yourself to other people around you. Declare to the Lord that you no longer care what other people think about you. All you care about is what God thinks about you. And declare to the Lord that when your joy comes, that you will give according to the Father's heart and not yours. Okay? So I want you to stand this morning. And we're going to make some declarations this morning. And I don't want you worried about, you know, who's beside you and what they're going to say, or they're not going to say nothing or whatever. But I want these to be out loud, not so that God can hear you. God can hear you anyway. but you need to hear yourself making these declarations, okay? And I've already given them to you, so we're just going to repeat them to God this morning. So just close your eyes and get your focus on Him. And the first thing we're going to ask God, and just repeat after me, God, will you restore to me the joy of my salvation and give me joy? Joy unspeakable, full of glory. And Father, I receive from you. And I make a declaration before you this morning. I declare to you, Lord, that I am laying down my life for you. Completely. You have brought me to the place where I am ready to totally abandon myself to you and your kingdom. And I declare to you, Lord, that I will be giving myself to other people that come into my life every day, and that I will share your purpose with these people. And I declare to you, Lord, that I no longer care about what other people think about me or what other people say about me. And Lord, I tell you, I want to be where you want me to be. And Lord, I declare that when the joy comes, I will choose to start giving according to your heart and not mine. Everything I give will come from you, because you instruct my heart in the realm of giving. So I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for everything that you are doing in my life. And I give you all of the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a praise this morning. Amen. So, you know, these are called new beginnings. And, we need to get everything right and get it in order. And that's what this church needs. And so we're just following what, you know, God's instructions on how to do this. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, well, that's the most important thing here this morning, that you come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we're going to have what we call an invitation. If you've never invited Jesus into your heart, then this is a good time to come. And I'll be down here in the front in just a minute, and you can come, and I'll be glad to pray with you to receive him. But because of who Jesus is, we also pray over the sick. We heal the sick. We set the captives free. Anything that you've got in your life that doesn't belong, we can agree in prayer and get you delivered from it. And we also can just release life into you. We can release the Spirit of God into you. Everything that you need that God has already provided, we can pray with you this morning to receive. So as Jonathan plays this morning, will you come and just come with an expectant heart and let God minister in your life this morning.